It's Marketplace Tech for July 27th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Lawmakers, officials, and federal employees are still grappling with fallout from the hack that crippled systems at the government's Office of Personnel Management. The Senate is expected to vote soon on a spending bill that involves 10 years of credit monitoring for people affected. When a hacking attack like this results in the theft of massive amounts of personal data, IT departments scramble, credit reporting services get ready for a payday, and sometimes employees file lawsuits. How much does it all cost?
You know, if you're looking at a couple hundred dollars per record, you know, it's going to be upwards of several hundred million dollars.
That's John Wheeler at Gartner, who researches the quickly expanding industry of cyber insurance. It's an industry, he says, hasn't quite found its feet yet.
The insurance underwriters still do not have much claims data on which to underwrite these policies. You know, that's primarily due to the fact that most companies are very reluctant to share that sort of information. And even companies that do have this form of insurance, in many cases, they won't file a claim because they're going to do what they can to have that breach remain confidential.
If we can, you know, can we compare this to, for instance, car insurance, which everyone has, right?
Is it right.
It's an issue of, okay, the insurance company is going to start asking questions like, does your car work? What kind of car do you have? What state is your car in?
Actually, I think an even better analogy might be health insurance. You know, what we found in the past with our insurers really not wanting to cover pre-existing conditions. And what I would say is that these cyber insurance policies, you know, they will look for any pre-existing conditions that a company might have as it relates to their security practices and want to exclude those.
When you look at this issue, what seems crazy to you or blows your mind about it? I mean, it does really seem like we're at the beginning of a huge growth in this industry.
Yeah. What really kind of blows my mind, to use your words, is the fact that as more and more companies move their data and IT infrastructure to the cloud, and then the insurance carriers, you know, they see these cloud providers as being just a massive amount of loss exposure. And so they're very reluctant to provide a great amount of coverage for them. So something's got to give in that space to provide the sort of coverage that's just not there today.
John Wheeler is a research director at Gartner. John, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Say what you want about decorum. In 12 years, online media company Gawker has changed the game. It started as a blog for celebrity sightings. Now it's a group of websites like Deadspin and Gizmodo that millions of people go to every day to get the bad, the ugly, and a bit of the good. But now the game might be changing Gawker. In recent months, the company's brand of cultural criticism, viral video posts, and celebrity gossip has been threatened by a high-profile lawsuit involving the most famous Florida man of all time, Hulk Hogan. Also, the handling of a controversial blog post that outed a media executive as being gay. Today, Gawker Media is hitting a reset with a promise from CEO Nick Denton of a more humane editorial bent. As Marketplace's Amy Scott reports, the change may reflect a bigger shift underway in digital media.
Gawker made its name on snark, with gossipy, often nasty posts targeting New York's media elite.
And that is something that it looks like digital media is outgrowing.
Ken Doctor with Newsonomics says competitors like Vox, Vice, and BuzzFeed are irreverent and opinionated, but typically not mean. Many readers thought Gawker overstepped with its post about a married publishing executive allegedly trying to hire a gay escort. But digital media analyst Rebecca Lieb says the decision to pull that post under pressure from advertisers suggests a bigger problem.
It belies a major fissure in the separation of church and state at Gawker and the separation of editorial and publishing that is sacrosanct in any media company of repute.
It's not just ad revenue at stake. Former wrestler Hulk Hogan is suing the company for $100 million over its publication of a sex tape. Ultimately, Gawker's brand of tabloid journalism may just prove too costly. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
It's summertime, which means a lot of musicians are on the road, and they're bringing with them a lot of gear. So this month, we're bringing you a series of conversations we're calling Noisemakers. We're hearing from a bunch of musicians about a piece of must-have technology they're stuffing into vans and lugging onto stages. Today, experimental electronic composer Sabisha Friedberg. We caught up with her and her collection of synthesizers and tape machines at a recent New York performance.
These were my early toys, in fact. So I played with disused reel-to-reel tape machines, and the frequency generators I've inherited from people. I find them wonderful instruments. I have one here from the 60s today, not totally functional. I call this one the Vernier Thread WaveTech. The other tape machine is just a consumer tape machine. It comes from a Russian mechanic that I visit in Coney Island. Both of them are highly unpredictable. I kind of love that things will happen to them that I don't expect. I'm definitely a lover of low-end frequencies, and I can just fall in love with one machine and be seduced by certain kinds of frequencies that it generates and then build an entire composition or piece around that.
You can find out more about Sabisha's new album, The Haunt Variants, and the rest of our Noisemaker series, all at MarketplaceTech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech on the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.